test. Do you want to be close to the heater? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wombat Radio. Tonight, we're at PACT, and we're speaking with Amrita Heppy, and we're sitting outside, and she just finished her show. Hi, Amrita.
Hi, Matt.
So the whole podcast is just, what are you busy with? Thinking about, what are you trying to do in the world? What is won't leave you alone? What's bugging you? What's shaping your, what's colouring the lens that you're seeing the world through?
That's a cool concept.
That's it. That's the question.
That's a question.
For you, tell me, what are you...
I feel like that was three things in once.
Okay.
With the colouring of the lens?
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, maybe we'll talk about, we'll start with, like, what am I busy with? Because I feel that lens to what's colouring my lens. So, just finished with passing at PACT and also at Next Wave Festival with Jara, who you can probably hear laughing in the background. And that was an amazing experience. That's been keeping us pretty busy. It's a dance work that is looking at what it means to pass and all of the intersections that exist in, well, for me and for Jara, exist in being, you know, First Nations, women of colour, Indigenous, but grappling with the idea of what exists in terms of like an ethnographical lens and what exists in terms of our own experiences. And I guess it's a combination of that. And so at the moment, looking at that has been really cathartic because it's basically a dance work that has allowed me to go through a process of what it is that I experience when I'm questioned about the authenticity of my experience, my race, my colour, where I'm from. But I don't think that that exists in isolation for only, like, you know, us as Indigenous First Nations women. I think that that's quite, as the more and more I made the work, the more and more I realised that the themes are concurrent with a lot of people. And the idea of passing runs along with people from all backgrounds. And, yeah, another thing that I've been looking at a lot is lateral violence. And so how that exists within the community, within my own communities, especially within, like, I guess, maybe, like, a community of elders, a community of, Indigenous people within the arts community, and what it means to, like, stand as you are. Yeah.
Wow. So my point of reference for thinking about all of these things is all to consider if I, as a man and as someone who has ancestry that looks white, whatever that is, German or British or...
Oh, but whiteness, you know, whiteness is not to do with your ancestry. Whiteness is a set of values. Whiteness is not to do with, like, the... I don't think it's isolated to your genetic makeup. I think that whiteness is a set of values that was imposed from us from what is maybe your ancestry, but I don't view it as, like, you know, you don't understand, because I think that you probably understand the terms of whiteness and white privilege quite well.
Yeah, and the interesting, well, whether I do or not, I don't know, yeah. But the interesting thing about that is then to begin to consider if I reject what is offered to me as my cultural heritage and identity, which I do in a lot of respects, without rejecting the people that nurtured me to grow up. Like, I want to reject the Australian symbol of a man on the back of a horse in the middle of the outback as being Australian, because that's pretty full of shit. But then it calls me to question my own ideas of indigeneity.
Yeah.
And where, what do I belong to and things like that. So it's interesting. I think the questions...
I think it has a lot to do with ownership.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with ownership and what it means for you and what it is. I think when I speak to a lot of people about, you know, the work or about whiteness or about ideas of Australiana indigeneity, I think that there's a tendency, I think it flips between two things. The idea of, like, exhaustion from advocation and the constant need to educate, but then also I would rather people not be PC I would rather people ask an offensive question and me set the record straight. So I think it's, I mean, we always talk about trying harder, but I think it's really, while if you want to like exist in Australia and really exist in like the richness of what it might mean to live here, I think it's like such an interesting dialogue to have, to begin having with people and to take it as it comes, to know that like at times you're not going to be able to have like the richness of the conversation that you might think that you've intended to have, like something about spirituality, connection. I think there's a lot of like these kind of like, I think the way that it's viewed for a lot of people is they're like, oh, it exists kind of like, you know, in the sky and in the land and, you know, there's things that exist in land, but there's like also a very practical knowledge that goes behind it. And so that's when I'm like, oh yeah, like ask me those questions, you know, let's have a chat about it.
Yeah. And I think also growing up in Darwin, I didn't realize that my experience was not everybody's experience. I thought everybody in Australia who looked in the mirror and had fair skin also had someone in their life they called auntie who was Filipino and had families they went to school with that had different languages and knowledge systems and recipes and cultures. That's what I thought was normal. And I thought that all everyone was in a break group where there were a lot of people with different backgrounds and
Darwin's so cool. Darwin's like one of those places that really slows down in time. Like it's almost like the further up you get, the slower things get, and the pace there is just incredible.
Yeah. I wonder about the idea of Southeast Asia as a construct going far enough to start including places like Broome and Darwin.
And especially when there's such a rich cultural lineage between the two places within, and it's so like it was really interesting what you just said about recipes, because it's so ingrained within like Broome mob, within like Darwin, you know, that those influences, they're not ignored. And I guess there's all those intersections that pass within, like within me, within Jara, within like a Trans-Pacific, because I think there's also like there's this amazing Trans-Pacific partnership that exists within me, being Māori, being Aboriginal, that has allowed me to have like these experiences with so many other people about their intersections. And I think there's something really like really rich, though we tend to like, we're still getting our heads around how to not segment it. And I know we talk about things being unbinary a lot within our communities, but
that's not normal either.
That's not normal. That is not normal. This idea of unbinariness is not normal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 31 next month, and it only just came up in conversation a few months ago that the Philippines is a construct and there are many different separate islands with different peoples and cultures and histories. And of course, but when you're first learning the idea of nationhood and then if you don't
kinship
and identity as exclusive rather than inclusive, and knowing something as binary rather than a gradient,
or as an ultimate,
or just, I think the thing that holds back so many things is the idea of a mutual exclusivity. If you enjoy restoring old cars, then maybe you don't go dancing on a Saturday night, or basically there's like lies about how varied what you can celebrate is.
Yeah, that's really, and that's fucking interesting. That's bullshit. Yeah, but isn't that interesting? I think though that like, when you were talking about what it is that we do and we're not allowed to celebrate, and how it is that we're like allowed to celebrate one thing if we assign ourselves to things, like the idea when everyone, a lot of my friends will be like, oh my God, so went to this great talk by this Indigenous woman, I think you'd really like it. And I'm like, oh yeah, oh no, I don't really like that. No, Bindi Cole, don't get down to that. But that's cool. Like, we've all got our, like, varied opinions, you know.
And then what you were saying before about being non-PC, it the best outcome that it can have is the conversation that it starts. I was wearing a necklace today, the bead necklace. That Leuli Ashragi gave me. And a Samoan woman that was standing on the street locked eyes with me and looked at my necklace, and I was like, oh, someone's looking at me. And we spoke for 40 minutes because I was...
Wearing a signifier
that could have easily offended and caused like harm.
Oh, totally.
But at the same time was like an invitation for engagement.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I see people wearing the Aboriginal flag, I almost want to go up like wearing a t-shirt. I'm like, what's up, you know. But I guess, and I think too as well, it's like taking that offense in your stride. Like the idea that if somebody is offended, like not that it's okay, but being able to take that feedback from that person and how you take it. Like, for example, like I had someone that came to my show last night, a Pat, and I guess I've never really thought of them as like male or female. And when she like did a shout out to me on Facebook, I was like, girl, thanks. Like, thank you. And then someone was like, hey, she actually doesn't identify as a girl. Like, you know, it might be a term of endearment, but, and I was like, thank you for calling me out on that. Thank you. Like, that's, I mean, I think that's the idea of like not, when we say we're not like hard and fast in our ways. So when you actually are called out on something, going, hey, shit, I was like, there's an amazing grace in knowing how to be wrong.
What's your biggest hope for all the effort that you're putting into all of the things that you are involved with?
Oh my God, we discussed this just when we were in the back room. It's basically fame. No, I'm joking. I want to be famous. Yeah. That's why I make independent contemporary dance.
That's why I run a podcast about independent contemporary dance.
Shit, yeah. Do you reckon this will make me famous?
Well, if you get famous, I'll make money and then fine.
And we'll both be famous. Yeah. My biggest, hope in this? Hope's such a funny thing because I feel like hope, I invest my hopes, far and wide, but they're so concentrated in whatever time I'm in. So my hope for this is that I continue to do it and that I continue to be challenged by it. My hope for this is that something that I make affects some kind of change. And I guess my hope for this is to make it as my hope for this is to really, I guess, figure out, because I think it's almost like you put in all this effort and you're like, yes, 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 yes. And in the effort, sometimes the hope gets a little bit lost. And the hope only comes in after you're like, shit, I really hope it's okay. my hope for this is that the effort doesn't diminish. And I don't think it will at all, because I really enjoy what I do, even though there's such a broad spectrum of enjoyment, in perspective and otherwise.
Can you tell me about dance and why it's dance and that you're operating as a choreographer and a dancer?
Yeah. I guess my first impulsive reaction is just because I really love it, but I think it's the medium that I've always felt comfortable in, but then on the other side of the spectrum, totally uncomfortable in. And in those gritty bits of uncomfortability, there's some really amazing things that I've come to understand. And while I think, there's this amazing thing about, you take it with you everywhere you go, and it's been such a rich and meaningful part of growing up. And as far as knowing where I, what I was, like, I felt like there was an amazing sense with dance that, like, whether there's, like, you know, whether it's teaching, whether it's making, whether it's doing, it was, like, the way that I used to communicate with people. So that doesn't always mean that it's, like, oh, you know, I made a dance, it made someone feel something, but in different ways it was, like, the best way to, like, get on with shit, like, the best way to, like, get on with or to relate to new people, people that I cared about, or even to have, like, a big fuck you to people that I didn't care about, you know? It was dismissive as much as it was empowering.
Excellent. I might have to go and swap.
Yeah.
Do you have a final, like... Oh, we do a part two.
Yeah, we'll do a part two.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks, Amrita.